to the latest episode of Forever Bristol City podcast. We thought it couldn't get any worse at home. It has. The final score at Ashton Gate, City 0, Stoke City 2, seventh successive home defeat. And again, not only the defeat, but the manner of the performance. If Pearson thought he had a task at hand, it's a massive task right now. Joining me this evening are Ian, Mark, and first-time visitor on the live pod is Rob Pickles. I mean, guys, let's have from each of you just a quick, as we do, 30-second resume of the game. I'll start with you, Ian, because you know the drill. 30 seconds, quick overview.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. We were exactly the same as we've been in the last seven home games. Hopeless, which is why the last seven home games we've lost a lot. We've scored one goal and conceded 13. Masengo and Semenyo come out of the game with credit. The rest of them, I wouldn't give you 50 pence for the lot.
Mark, your thoughts, just quick overview of the game.
City lost their seventh successive home game in what's becoming, like Ian said, Groundhog Day. You expect this, it's the same old thing every time. Stoke were ordinary, but these days ordinary is enough to beat a Bristol City side who make mistakes at both ends of the pitch. Mariappa giving a sloppy pass to Nick Powell, and then Casey Palmer making a stupid tackle on the edge of his own area when Bentz could have worn an overcoat, but Stoke were just too good for City. City ordinary as usual, and yet another home defeat in a worrying time for a club who are looking at the wrong end of the table and looking uncomfortable. Final stage of the season.
Rob, your quick summary of the game. I know that's the other guys have said probably what you're going to say, but if you could just say, I'll add to that, or I agree with that, but I thought X. Over to you, Rob.
Well, I couldn't agree more, really. It's the same old, wasted 10 quid. Well, I don't know what to say. It's just the same thing. We could have all written it down probably, what was going to happen if, you know, I just don't understand what's going on. Like, it's quite embarrassing watching these teams come here and run away with things so easily.
I know. It's the ease of their win, isn't it? No, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Schoolboy errors.
It is. And, sloppy.
A lot of things I got taught from, like, playing at a young age of, like, 10, where you got to run. You know, the amount of matches you've seen this season where it's just, you know, you got a tracking man and closing down. I got told that in school, and still, like we've seen the last few matches, it's happened so many times. Yeah. I don't get what they're
doing. And they had 2 weeks to prepare for it. But Ian, the starting lineup, we expected there to be changes. There were players away on international duty. Some were back, but we started with Naki Wells in this favoured central position. But a debut for Mickey Bell's son. Your thoughts on the starting lineup, Ian?
Well, I looked at the starting lineup and I thought it was probably 4-3-3, and that's how it turned out. Unfortunately, nobody told the back four, Dan Bentley, that Pham wasn't playing, so they still smashed it forward in the air to our 5'6" target man. And when Sam Bell went off, and this was the key thing for me, we started off, and the tactic was fairly obvious. Play it a bit quicker, a bit longer, get down the sides of their big, tall central defenders, pull them out of position and make them defend in areas where they weren't comfortable, take them on, get behind them, right? Bell went off, and then he'll bring Pham on now, play Pham in the middle, push Naki out wide, which I don't like, but that would seem the obvious thing to do. Or even bring Marley Watkins on.
Yeah.
He brings on Tyreek Backinson, who's a central midfield player. I don't know whether he changed it to a diamond, because it's difficult to see when you're not down there at the ground and you're actually looking down onto the pitch, because the camera angle, the general play camera angle is so high on Robin's TV. It's like watching a load of ants play football. I looked at it, I thought, where's Backinson going to play? Is he going to play as a 10? He can't play wide and you move Palmer into a 10. And and I couldn't pick up what he was trying to do for 90 minutes, and it didn't work. We looked absolutely dreadful.
It was a shambles. Yeah. I mean, Mark, if you look at the lineup, you know, it sort of picked itself. I mean, Masengo, he's been the bright spark, and he was in this game, but Angela Lansbury playing, we call him Angela now rather than Henri or Henry. Angela playing in the middle, and I thought it looked like a 4-2-3-1. Would you say that, Mark, looking at that starting lineup there? Hello, Mark. No, I don't know. Rob, let me ask you, Rob.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear you now, Mark?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I had myself on mute. I was splitting around when the hearing aid, the battery went.
Yeah.
We just 4-2-3-1,
it looked like, yeah.
When we got the ball into good areas, I mean, ballooning the ball across the penalty area. And, you know, having one man in the box, this was after Sam Bell went off after a quarter of an hour. We had Wells up front on his own. A small player like Ian said. So we tried to play it through. When we did try and slide the ball through, and Palmer was attempting some passes down the side, it was miscontrolled. It didn't fall to Semenyo, but offering pace up against those two centre backs. I mean, that ball that cross from Masengo that played him in, that was our best option really today, because our crossing again is absolutely pathetic. I mean, we want to hit the ball low and hard across big centre-backs, and we didn't do that today. Why we didn't do it, I don't know. We just kept doing the same thing and offered nothing down the left at all day.
Yeah. Rob, were you surprised? It's the same old thing with City. They bring new players in, and Danny Simpson, a lot of controversy surrounding him even coming to the club, but he's trained for 2 weeks. He's been with the club before. Were you surprised that they didn't start him at right back when Jack Hunt clearly isn't going to be here next season and put in the sort of performance today with some wayward passing and crossing that's just why that's going to be the case? But you're surprised he didn't start Simpson, and then he played him on the left when he could have played him on the right and Sessegnon. But your thoughts on Simpson's non-inclusion?
I'm glad you mentioned it, because I'm really not a fan of Jack Hunt. I never have been. I really don't like him, and he don't do the basics right. I would have totally put Simpson in there, straight up. We need improvements on that side, and we have the whole time. The amount of... I can't remember the last time he didn't actually...
Dave, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm getting a bit of the Norman Colliers with Rob.
All right, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm getting the same with you now.
All right, well, let's carry on anyway. Let's get into the... let's get into the action.
Dave, same with you. I don't know if it's your internet again.
No, I think I'm all right.
I can hear
you're not.
And Rob fine.
Yeah, but Mark, you're fine.
No, you're not.
this is a problem with live broadcasting. Mark, you can hear me perfectly, can't you?
Yeah, yeah? I can hear you fine, yeah.
So
I think Dave, I can't hear you, mate.
Yeah, I think it's the you've dropped out, Ian. You've dropped out. You're not visible at the moment. Right, Mark, let me come to you. Yeah, because you can hear me perfectly. Let's get into the action. Early doors chance for City. Had a couple of corners before Bell went off with what looks like another soft tissue injury. But then on 15 minutes, Lansbury did a nasty foul that he got booked for on Powell. And then they were lucky they didn't go a goal behind then. Fletcher's header, it was a deflected header, but it went just wide, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Lansbury sort of body checked Nick Powell in the centre of the pitch, about 5 yards over the halfway line into City's half, and the ball was just chipped into our area, headed back by Suter to Fletcher, and it was just basically he didn't get behind it. It hit his head and drifted wide. To Dan Bentley's left. But Lansbury, he was off the pace again today. Poor passing, caught on the ball. I mean, the only good game I've seen him play was Birmingham away. And I mean, he's before Pearson, but why, oh, why did we waste our money on him when we could have got a left-sided player? I don't know, but you know.
It is what it is. Yeah. Rob, the opening goal, 24 minutes, a long ball out by Suter, found Brown, sort of Powell stumbled, scuffed it, but it went straight to Mariappa. It bounced off his knee, went back into Powell, who dinked it past Bentley. I mean, it was a sloppy goal, and some people were saying Naki Wells, he could have closed that defender down before the long ball even set the moving train, couldn't he? Yes, yeah. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's, like I said before, it's just closing down. It's simple instructions that they should be given, you know. And also, like with the goal, I mean, I think Tommy Rowe was a little bit of fault for letting it bounce over him. But Blumenek, I mean, they're just hanging him on a plate, aren't they? Really. But
no, a sloppy
it was
one.
Very unfortunate for Mats. But
it was unlucky. You couldn't say it was skill. It was just the way it came to him and bounced off him. I mean, do you think Wells could have closed that defender down, Mark, before he put that long ball in?
You've got to put players under pressure, and we've seen this time and again with City this season, David. I mean, look at the Norwich game. Two of the three goals were balls played from the full-back and the centre-back, just cross-field passes between our defenders, and a goal resulted from it. But, I mean, it was just a comedy of errors. Rowe got caught underneath the ball, and then Brown was away. But, I mean, Powell was just looking to prod the ball across the box. And, he wasn't going to look a gift horse in the mouth when it came back to him. He hit the ball through Dan Bentley, who had nothing to do today, really.
No, he didn't. Well, that's what I put that on Twitter or on OTIB. He picked the ball out of the back of the net twice, and that was the only time. That was two shots on target in the whole game.
Two shots.
I mean, one bright spark for City came just after the half hour. I would say they surged back looking for an equaliser, but the ever-improving Masengo found Semenyo, and his first touch was good on this occasion. He got his shot away, but it was saved. Rob, that was a great pass out of defence by Masengo, wasn't it?
Oh, what a pass. What a pass. He's got it in his locker, hasn't he? But he just never gets in a good position to put those balls through, and it was nice that someone actually wanted to run onto a ball today, because there's a few times today where that's happened where we've just launched it over and no one's really had a good pass on him either. So it was nice to see that. I think that was it, really.
Yeah, I mean, Semenyo usually doesn't have a really good first touch, and this time he got the touch right. So it was a good save by the keeper rather than, as people always criticise him, oh, he's never going to score. It wasn't inexperience. He did everything he could, I think, in that situation, didn't you?
Yeah. Could have changed the whole game, that, really. But, I mean, that
it wasn't to be.
Wasn't to be, and what a surprise.
Mark, Semenyo, he does look good. He still looks raw, but he's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of power. I like the way he forced the game's first corner when he forced Bath, I think it was, to concede just by his physical presence there. He's being linked with West Ham. Do you see a club like them punting 10 million on him or something like that? Or is that wishful thinking on our part?
He's linked with Palace and a few clubs this week. I caught that today on a few rumour websites, you probably put it. He's a diamond in the rough, isn't he? But he's just not done. I mean, he's not. If you think under Pearson next season, he really needs another season in the Championship. I mean, West Ham, are supposedly interested in him, and they picked up Championship players, but for every Jared Bowen who's done well there, there's an Ashley Fletcher or a Jordan Hugill who just disappear.
Yeah, but for City, getting another 10 mil is, you know, potentially.
Well, you could build. You could get some good purchases with that. Same with, you know, with Dan Bentley. Probably the only two saleable assets right now are those.
Well, I'm Masengo, based on current form as well. Yeah. Ian, you're back in the room, I think, if you can hear us properly.
Yes.
Everybody said the sound was fine, so
he's back.
Problem down in the. So let's. I don't want to go back over that goal with you, but this Semenyo being linked with Premier League sides. I mean, he's deserved it with his performances, hasn't he? And that chance on 34 minutes, great pass by Masengo. Semenyo, he did pretty much everything right, because usually he fluffs the first touch, doesn't he?
Well, Semenyo can't finish. That's his overarching problem. I think he's a good player, but he's very raw, and I don't think he's a striker. I think he's a wide player.
So somebody's just putting on here, Red Robin 2020. Look, we're trying to be positive, mate. these politically correct, 10 million for Semenyo, Stevie Wonder would have to be West Ham's scout.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Stevie. Yeah,
brilliant.
I thought it was Ray Charles actually, but never mind. Okay, no, so
he's not gonna, I mean, look, you could talk about if you get offered 10 million for any of our players, they'll be gone. It's as simple as that, because we haven't got the money. And Pearson's going to need to spend money and pay wages, bearing in mind the fact we're already paying 123% of our income out in wages. How much more are we going to have to pay to get the players we need to get out of this division? And we're paying big wages, and we're getting, you know, like somebody said today, you know, we've got a high performance centre and very low performance players. So massive change round needed.
That's the thread that I've put on the OTIB for the live show and the recording. It's the Robins Low Performance Centre, aka Ashton Gate. But there we go.
David, just one more thing. On. They keep referring it as the bloody HPC. Just gives me some use to use it.
No.
Oh my God. Makes it sound like a terrorist organisation, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, look. Oh dear. Anyway, second. I mean, I would imagine they got a roasting from the ever so cool Mr. Pearson. They came out at the start of the second half, and Rob, they almost got a goal on 51 minutes. Palmer slid the ball through, but it just eluded Naki Wells' outstretched boot. I mean, Palmer, he played well for a bit, but has he got it? Do you think, Rob? Is he somebody that is going to give you 100% week in, week out in that sort of number 10-y type role?
Yeah. I mean, I think he, in all honesty, he needs the players around him as well to make the good runs for him and stuff. But honestly, I honestly think he needs the players around him. I think he's got a lot more potential. He's not that old either. He's still quite young as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing for Jamaica and stuff.
Just a little bit of breaking news. Sam Bell went off with a hamstring injury. And Liam Walsh also has confirmed. Liam Walsh also has a hamstring injury.
Oh, for Christ's sake! So he'll be out on Monday.
Has Sherlock Holmes in to solve the mystery yet? Has anybody worked out what the mystery is behind all these injuries?
Well, that's about. I'll say 10 hamstrings this season. It could possibly be more.
Something's going wrong there, Mark. Yeah. I mean, we are just chatting to Rob about Palmer, and he thinks he's got a contribution, but silly foul on the hour. On the edge of the box, wasn't it? Yeah, and he does that. I call that a Callum O'Dowda conceding a free kick in a dangerous position. Yeah,
I can't remember. I can't remember O'Dowda doing it, Dave. Why'd you keep picking on the kid?
I was asking Mark. So shut. Well,
I can remember Naki Wells doing it. I can remember Casey Palmer doing it before. Because I'll tell you exactly why. You're asking players to do what they can.
Yeah.
Defend. I don't want to see Naki Wells defending on the edge of the ball, or Casey Palmer, apart from perhaps heading a few away for corners or whatever. But that's why we keep getting the same thing. We keep asking players, Naki, go out and play wide. Oh, right, okay, yeah. It's just, I look at it like, well, I don't know. I don't know what, I mean, if Pearson's at a loss with it, I sure as hell am.
Well, we talk about that is comment that he's at a loss. Mark, come on, after you. Right, okay. It was an
Brown's got goal side of Casey Palmer, but he's still got a bit of work to do there. And there's plenty of players in the area. He doesn't need to foul him. He doesn't need to do that. It's a typical, you know, attacking midfield player going back towards his goal and flailing in a tackle, and he gives a free kick away from where they score. And I mean, he's since Pearson's been there, he's been a standout player. But you know, today as the game wore on, he got less and less effective, and Stoke's midfield three really just choked. You know, we got completely suffocated by the end, and he got taken off.
Yeah. I mean, what a striker for the goal. Classic strike, wasn't it, by Fletcher?
Yeah, it was shifted between him and
Thompson. It was Thompson.
And top, yeah, Thompson and Nick Powell, and he just smacked it in the top corner. It was a cracking one. Finish. Much better than our attempt a few minutes later.
I was going to say, Rob, I mean, that was how to take a free kick. And then the commentator trying to get a bit of excitement going to give people their 10 quid's worth, but Naki Wells shaped to take it and bloody fell on his arse. I mean, it was a bloody joke, wasn't it? You couldn't get more extremes of the more extremes, could you?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know what they're watering the pitch with, but there was a lot of slips today as well. And it was just a bit painful to watch. And then I don't know why he's taking penalties. I don't know why he's taking free kicks. Just get Casey on him. I mean, how much can we take now from him doing that sort of stuff on set pieces? I know he got a lucky one at Millwall, I think it was. But, yeah. Yeah.
Not good. Not good. Well, there was no further action as far as I'm concerned for either side. I mean, that Nick Powell, who's out of contract, by the way. So he's a free agent in the summer.
Oh, Dave.
He's going out for every five
Dave,
minutes.
Go on, Dave, he'll play about six games a year. So he's another Baker. So don't, for Christ's sake, suggest we sign in.
All right. Well, some people were saying that. All right. So we'll ignore him.
He fit right in, didn't he?
Well, yeah. He fit right in the high-performance treatment room, yeah.
What, in the High Performance Centre? Do you mean the HPC? What, the HP, yeah. The HPT and the HPC? Is it UITK?
Yeah, I was going to, at one point, I was going to throw the remote at the television. If they said HPC once more, it was like they were on a bonus for every time they could say it.
Yeah.
You know, that was dang. I noticed Triggs went on today. Triggs went on, or Tins, or Reg. they weren't on, but we had Chris Martin, who I wouldn't have had anywhere near it because he ain't got a nickname.
No,
you've got to have a nickname. You've got to be, yeah. And you've got to be a hipster as well.
Tomo's
with Downsy.
Tomo's just watched Nige, call him Nige, on Twitter. We were waiting for someone to start us off. A few more Hanoas. That is what I'm looking for. A desire to make things happen. And Taunton Reds reminded us we're only 14 points from relegation and Rotherham have four games in hand. I mean,
yeah, but
you know,
they
tend to go and eat his Easter eggs early. In terms of
they're playing four games in 8 days,
yeah.
And the only one they won recently was against us. So I wouldn't panic, but we do need to win at least one more game.
Yeah,
they had a chance to get a draw today, and they missed a penalty at the end, didn't they? Against Millwall. Yeah, Smith's had his penalty saved.
Our last three home games are against Luton, Forest, and Brentford, based on current form,
they'll all beat us.
No,
probably
we'll beat Brentford on the last day of the season. Last day of the season. All right, we're not going to do marks because you know there's people sort of saying the forwards don't get the ball, they don't get the service, and then people are saying, well, you know, Callas played okay, and Mariappa, other than his, if you look at them as individuals, you know, there's some. They're okay, but as a unit, they just don't gel. So let's just go through the players that we in the starting lineup that we would want to see here next season, or we're likely to see here next season. And I'll start with Dan Bentley. Do we think he'll be lining up for us on the 5th of August, whenever the season starts? Because I think probably not, because I think he's going to have to go to raise some money. Ian, Bent's here, yes or no?
Yes.
You think he'll be here? All right, let's keep it simple like that. Next one, Mark Hunt, he's gone, right? He's out the door, isn't he? Yeah, he's out of contract and he's out of club. Yeah,
yeah, he's not going to take us anywhere, is he? Sorry, Jack, off.
You're out. Jack's gone. Rob, Mariappa, he's done okay. He's 30. Is he a year younger than Simpson? Would we give him a year's contract?
What, Paul Simpson?
Danny Simpson.
Oh, sorry.
Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, Mariappa, would you give him a year's contract or persevere with some of the youngsters that we've got, like a Towler who could play on a left of Callas? Your thoughts on Mariappa? Goodbye?
I keep him. Whether we get a new centre-back in, or I don't know what they're going to do in the summer. I think we're quite clueless because you just don't know what's going to happen. But I think Mariappa's got a lot of experience. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been awful. He was terrible at left-back, but that's because he's been playing somewhere where he wants him to play. But I thought he's been all right. He hasn't been too bad. But I would keep him another year
You might keep him on. All right, okay. Yeah. Well, Kallas, we know, is going to be here. I don't think anybody's going to buy him because he's been okay. I mean, we talk about having one of the best goalkeepers and we got a really good defender in Kallas. Yeah, I think it's only Wickham have conceded more goals than us. Ian, what's the situation with Tommy Rowe? Is he out of contract or is he... You see, when we got rid of... one of the players released Vince Harper and we got Cameron Pring and Jada Silva. Mm-hmm. Tommy Rowe is a good bloke if you're a top League One side or you have no ambitions in the Championship. So why would we keep him?
Well, if you had an unlimited amount of money to spend, then you probably wouldn't. But what you've got to look at is... where is it important for us to strengthen? And one of the places we've got to strengthen it is up front, because Pham's going. So you've lost a £5.3 million striker. So he's gone. Now, you can criticise Pham as much as you like, and I do as much as anybody, but he's probably good for somewhere between 13 and 15 goals a season. No one else is, unless you can get the service to Naki Wells, and we're not clever enough in midfield to do that. So basically, I wouldn't. There's 14 players now.
Well, we're going through the individuals, right? So let's come back to Rowe. Yeah, is he gonna? You give him another. You give him another what? 2-year contract with a 1-year option type of thing. Yeah,
and no, absolutely not. I might give him another year. I might. Tommy Rowe's a might.
All right.
I might give him another year.
You're a bit of a might about him, Rob. Tommy Rowe, good squad player, but not one to take us to the next level. And we've got, I'd sooner see youngsters developed if we're just going to meander around. What do you say to that, Rob?
Yeah, I think if Pring comes in, it'd be interesting to see what he's like. I haven't really kept track of him, but a lot of people have been said some good things about him. So it'd be interesting to see him. But I could see Tommy as maybe staying as a second choice left back, but hopefully... De Silva can sort his injuries out, or we can sort his injuries out, and they'll be back. But yeah,
Mark, Tommy Rowe, give him a year.
Maybe on. I mean, it'd be on reduced terms. I would imagine. You know, it might take an offer you can refuse, but you know, he's going to find it difficult to get another club in the Championship unless it's some. What's he going to add? What is he now? 31? 32?
That's what I mean. You know, I'd sooner see if we're going to have next season a consolidation while Nigel or whoever rebuilds, then I'd sooner see Cameron Pring alternate with Jay De Silva. And I think there's another player in there somewhere as well. Is it Nurse? Is he a fullback as well?
Yeah, George Nurse. And I thought Nurse was should be available now. I thought he was getting...
He is available.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's available. I mean, Jada Silva's a worry because of these you know, fractured shins. Hopefully, you know, they can sort that out. And I think he's been back in the training. He's probably in the HPC this week. Yeah.
Well, he's back in training, but he's only since he's been with the club. Yeah. He's averaged 14.14 games a season. Now, that's, you know, I'd be very worried. Going into the season with him is my first choice left wing back.
Yeah, he's going to be going to play one in three games.
I'd be thinking, blimey, we need some cover for that kid because he's another one.
George Nurse and Riley Towler played there. You know, you've got depth there, haven't you?
Well, you can't say it's depth, Dave, because Riley Towler can just about.
Experience, but you know, we're trying to contain the wage bill. We're trying to contain the wage bill. That's the key thing. I mean,
I imagine they'd look at the youngsters, wouldn't they?
The only reason you keep Rowe is for his versatility, which is true. But if they're thinking he's a left back, you'd like to think we can do better, and we already have better with Cameron Pring, etc., as we've just said. Tommy Rowe can play multiple positions well enough off the bench. Yeah, that's one reason for keeping him. Okay, just going through this starting lineup. Masengo, he's showing the promise. He's absolutely here. Do we think, a quick yes or no from each of you, Masengo, somebody going to come from him if he carries on over the last 7 games putting in performances? Cheeky bid from a Premier League club. Yes or no, Rob, on Masengo?
I don't think so.
No. Ian, quick yes or no on Masengo? Leaving, somebody come for him?
No.
And Mark, I guess you're going to say no as well, yeah?
No, but the promising signs for the future for him. I think, you know, he's looking good.
Now, Angela, who was playing as a holding midfield player, what a waste of a signing that is. Yeah, I mean, I put the fact that maybe he's done well in training, as a certain old manager of ours used to say, who's now in the top two, if I'm correct, of a different division, admittedly. But Angela, I think, was a waste of money. I did put on Twitter that is his inclusion from the starting lineup, the sign that maybe he could be considered for a full-time contract next season and a renaissance of his career. But after today, he's shit. He's going. Never to be seen.
A bit old for a ball boy, David.
Could be, maybe. I don't know. Semenyo, right. Good performance. One of the good performers. Again, yes, no. Ian, will he be here at the start of the season, or will people realise that he can't score? He's got to get in the last.
Well, if you
goals, then they might. What do you think?
Well, the point is, let me say this, and I don't have to say it again. Then, if a substantial bid comes in for any of our players, they'll be gone. Now, and the judge of what is substantial is Stephen Lansdowne, right? Nothing to do with anybody else. Because it's become very popular with some people. I heard somebody today blaming Mark Ashton for sacking Lee Johnson and Dean Oldham, like Steve Lansdowne had nothing to do with it. And then in the same breath says that, oh, but Steve Lansdowne appointed Nigel Pearson, because that's very convenient, but it's absolutely and completely inaccurate. So let's just clear that up. If a substantial bid comes in, anybody in our squad will be gone. But I think all we can say is, would you like the player here for next season, barring that really, you know, barring a big sale? And with Semenyo, definitely, because I think he's got promise.
Yeah. But you don't think somebody's going to come in for him?
Well, I mean, somebody might come in, but it might be like, I mean, didn't Chelsea try and buy him at one time?
Yeah,
they tried, for about £1 million.
But then so, they'd loan him out. He's the sort of player, though, that they'd loan out, because allegedly we bought Masengo when Chelsea had that transfer embargo, didn't they? Yeah, didn't that was mooted?
No, that's a Dave. That's another urban myth.
Old wives' tale, right? Yeah,
yeah. So no, I mean, look, what they might do is, somebody might buy him and loan him back to us for a season. That is a might happen, which might suit everybody, because we're like every club in the EFL. We need cash. We're not as desperate as some, but only because we got Steve Lansdowne. And you don't know what, you know, perhaps we can have a discussion on who might, you know, will they pause financial fair play to allow people with a lot of money to bankroll their team, because we can't be the only club in the EFL that's going to absolutely lose a fortune in comparative terms this season.
Yeah. 30 million estimated loss, isn't it?
Well, we've said that. Let's just try and finish off these, the players.
Semenyo, God, yeah. I mean, the problem is, who's going to buy him? The problem is, I mean, look today, no end product crossing.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets in great positions. He can beat players. If he can, you know, can play players in, he's got frightening pace. He can physically, he's there, and he, you know, he's got some assists this season. If only he could finish without, you know, he can finish with his backside, we know that, but how many times can you block a goalkeeper's kick? But he's got so much going for him. If he can hone that and sort out his shooting, he could be some player. But unless, like Ian said, unless we get a big bid for him, and I don't think anybody's going to take that chance. I mean, supposedly Man City got Guardiola said, I don't think we can afford to buy a striker next season when we let Aguero go. And you're thinking, Manchester City, if they can't afford anybody, there must be something wrong.
No, if they've got problems. Palmer's here. Rob, Naki Wells, you know, he's never looked happy here, and he had his favoured position. Do you think he will be our lead striker next season, or do you think he might go? Do you think he's unhappy? What do you think?
I think he'll stay, and he might go the season after. I mean, sometimes this season he's been effortless, not even doing anything. But I think he'll stay. I think he'll stay for another season. And if it's still the same like this season, it'll just go probably, because he's getting older as well.
Yeah, so we want one more payday, and you know he's 32 next birthday, I think. Or I think he probably
he played his best football alongside Chris Martin at the start of the season. You know, when he was there, you know, the crosses were coming and Martin was cushioning the ball back for Wales. And he's good at finding space, dropping off and finding space. But he seems to have lost his touch, but I mean, a bit. And really, he's not getting the service. But I think his first touch has been poor as well. Yeah. He certainly lost his confidence. But he's never looked happy. I think he just looks like that permanently. He's just one of those intense players, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the worrying thing is, if you look at that starting lineup that's there, we got three players that are definite, and we said that before I went down this route. Yeah, Bents, Callas, and Masengo. And in Bents and Callas, we've got two people in the spine of the team, and other people have picked up and said it's a good point, in the spine of the team that has conceded loads of goals. And then in Masengo, who is playing well at the moment, but we've got a midfielder with no goals and or no goals nor assists. That is worrying. And that's what we were saying earlier about, you know, there's some good individual players, but the jigsaw, it might be out of three different boxes, which again comes back to recruitment. But I think Mark Ashton's your mate at the moment, Ian, so we're not going to use this to criticise him. Well, I am going to ask you, Ian, a couple of players that were on the bench today. Backinson, he didn't do himself any favours when he came on. He was invisible, wasn't he? Yeah, would you?
Well, I think everybody was absolutely confused with what he was meant to do. I know I was, and I'd like to think I'm pretty tactically cute and can see what's happening. But when he's played before, he's more or less played in the middle, in front of the back four, pick the ball up off the back four and try to pass it forward. I think that's what he is. And I think Pearson sees him as something potentially different. I actually think he's a decent player, but like a lot of the younger players, he wouldn't have played as much this season if it weren't like emergency ward 10 at our club. And I think he'd have gone out on loan and done better having a season playing every week in League One at a lower standard where he'd have a bit more time and get a bit better. So, but I don't see him going, but I could see potentially him going out on loan next season. Depending on who comes in.
How old is he next birthday? Backinson. He's got to be 23, 24.
He's in the under 23 squad,
isn't he? Yeah, sorry.
I think he might be 21 next birthday, something like that.
Yeah. Mark, let me ask you about Zach Viner. He came on today, a short appearance. Is his best position right back, centre back, holding midfielder? Where would you play? And he's here next season. He is under contract, but where would you play him?
I think he's got to find a permanent position, because I think the problem is if you're a utility player, you're more likely to be on the bench because you're just brought on to fill in holes. But I think right centre back is his best position. But I just think he's been found wanting there in games. He looked to have a bit of a renaissance when he played central midfield. Especially against Swansea, where he was, I think he set up the equaliser where he took advantage of a hesitant defender and crossed it for Wales, to tuck away the equaliser.
Yeah.
But he's got to call the position his own, because, you know, utility player just means that, you know, you're just filling the gaps. Tyreek Backinson is 20, he's 22, 10th of October, 98.
So he's 23 this year.
Tyreek Jamal Adesina Oliveira Backinson.
All right. Okay. Last time I heard the name was Tariq. I just crashed through six seasons of Power over the last few weeks. Don't know whether anybody ever watched that series on Netflix. Rob, we talked about it just before we went live. Danny Simpson, no relation to Paul. I felt for all the hassle of bringing him to the club and la la la, that's been well documented. I could see him being a member, maybe if they're trying to contain costs and what have you. I could see, because he knows Pearson as well, I could see him maybe being a member of the coaching team or a player coach. Do you think there's a long-term future for Danny Simpson? And like me, weren't you surprised that when he did bring him on, he played him on the opposite side to where he normally plays? So your thoughts on Simpson?
Well, I mean, I was praying that he was going to be brought on for Jack Hunt, because it was painful to watch. But I think he might turn coaching, because he did mention as well in his interview about speaking to the younger lads and trying to help them out and stuff. And it really seems like it's something that will go into, definitely. Yes. It seems like a good guy. I know he's got his past and all that, but he's got a point to prove to everyone. And
yeah,
hopefully he'll do a good job for
us. He might give us something. I didn't realise he'd taken three clubs out of the championship in his and the right way in his previous career. But then so had Gary O'Neill, and we all know what a success that move proved to be. Ian, you're a bit of a fan of Marley Watkins, and he's out of contract. We talk about utility players, and we've said, well, that's the rationale for keeping Tommy Rowe. But Marley Watkins, yeah, he's out of contract. He's got a physical presence. He is a utility player. Do you think he could be somebody that maybe sneaks in with a contract? And we all know that when we signed him, somebody thought we were getting Ollie. We got Marley. But do you think he might be here next season?
Well, first of all, I'm not a fan. Secondly, he's another one. He's another one that's never fit. So right. My answer to that would be a resounding no.
Adios. All right. Okay. Let's look at some other bits and pieces coming out of the game today. Who heard the comment from Chris Martin that him and Andreas Weimann were called back from their slumbers while they were recovering to view of a game of Stoke and take part in the preparation, the coaching preparation for today's match? Maybe that's why we played so shit.
Yeah, I heard that.
You heard that. Yeah, yeah. Mark, what do you think of that? Do you think some of these senior pros are here in contract? They might double up and use them and try and ease the burden or ease something on the wage bill. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take into that. I mean, it might just be that, I mean, that Pearson's just giving him something to do and, you know, bringing him back into the fold because they probably can't play high intensity football in the HPC right now that we that we'd all like. But it seemed sensible, but it obviously it didn't have any benefits. And I don't know if Chris Martin would be available for any games at the end of the season. I mean, he's played
it. No.
I think Pearson.
No, he won't.
I mean, first thing Pearson did, I think, when he went to Derby was, I mean, he loaned him out to Fulham. So I mean, he didn't play under Pearson there, and he's not good. I mean, at 32, he's probably in the sunset of his career. So how much longer has he got? He's under contract, but he won't be first choice striker. But we probably, like again, I'd say with Backinson, played his best football when we in those first few games of the season when we had the energy of Weimann and Patterson as the two number eights with Backinson as a holding midfield player.
Yeah. I don't want to go through the out of contract players because there's some of them, and the only one maybe that we really would like is Liam Walsh. And Liam, next season, a midfield of Liam Walsh, Masengo and Joe Williams, you know, that on paper, it looks good. And that's what Dean Holden would have had it not been for injuries. I mean, Ian, if you look at those three, right, if that's a starting midfield, nobody would have any complaints about that. But is that a midfield that's good enough to take us up to the next level?
Who were your three midfielders? Williams, those Walsh, three, who else?
Williams, Walsh, Masengo. If you have a midfield three, and then you've got Palmer and O'Dowda on the fringes, but if those three were here and we had no money, we'd think, well, it's not bad, is it? And we have got no money, unless somebody's going to find a money tree pretty damn quick.
Well, it depends what they do with financial fair play. I mean, Steve Lansdowne said in his interview round about the manager's time that there was headroom in the financial fair play area. So I think I can't see us spending big unless we sell big. So if we sold a player, I won't even name a player, but let's just say we raised £15 million by selling two players that are currently in the first team squad. But I think he'd allow that to be spent. And I think he's allowed to put in somewhere between, is it 6 to 10 million in terms of a cash injection? So you think that would be enough to fund what Pearson's looking to do? Because don't forget, you've got Premier League loans. Like this season, we took Sessegnon and Mawson in. And they've been, I would say, relatively successful when they played, particularly Mawson. But he's already gone. So, and they both, I mean, Mawson got injured twice, and that's a major problem. That's why you wouldn't want to bring him back, even though he's a very good player. And Sessegnon got injured once, so you wonder where whether he's up to the rigors of.
He's not going to come back here, and his wages are too high anyway. And we're going to spend the last 10 minutes talking about Nigel. But before we do that, I've already asked Mark the question before we went live. It is a festive time of year, Easter and what have you. I'll ask Mark and Rob while I'm just reading what Nigel Pearson, this is off the BBC website, had to say after the game. But I'd like you to think of one, maximum two, Good Friday games in your history of watching Bristol City. So Mark's already had the question. I asked him that, say, earlier. But Rob and Ian, think of one or two Good Friday games that stick in the memory. I had two. We should come on to that in a bit. But I'm just going to read now what the manager said. And Alan Payne did say on one of the tweets on here, is Nigel Pearson the manager we think he is? And this is what he had to say. There's no hiding the fact that our performance was not the level we're looking for. I want to see a more collective, stronger performance in terms of physicality and in terms of our ability to deal with setbacks. There were some good individual performances. I thought Hanno in particular was excellent. If we had more players who showed this sort of personal drive to make things happen in a game, we'd be better off. The reality is our home form is exceptionally poor and we need to rectify that. If players don't want to be part of the journey going forward, there will be people missing out. Okay, so Mark, come to you first on that. Every manager has a honeymoon period and you expect to bounce, and he's walked into a shitstorm with injuries and everything, but never mind him signing permanently, is you know, at the end of this trial period, because it's a trial on both sides, let's say we only from the next seven games manage to muster only another 6 points, might the powers that be think, well, he's not all that, is he? What do you think, Mark? You know, is it far too early to be asking questions? Some people are. We're not asking the question. I'm just picking up on some of the threads and what a couple of people have said on the 20-man. Mark?
I think psychologically there's a proper hurdle that need to get over with the players. The away performances, I think we have shown the physicality and the strength to win games. Swansea, we were a little bit lucky because we were outplayed in the first half and they could have scored three or four. But against Middlesbrough and Birmingham, and we competed very well at Blackburn as well. I've already created anything, but in terms of a well-drilled, team defending as a unit, that was a good display. It's at home, and you know, it's the same for both sides. There are no crowds, and I think that's helped us a lot with some of the younger players because there haven't been crowds. But I think it's a psychological thing with City. But I think it would really help to ease the supporters' minds as well as help the club if they made a decision sooner rather than later, especially with season tickets going on sale a week on Monday. It just seems like a crazy situation.
Yeah.
We can't wait till the end of the season with the huge loss on the horizon, and probably, I would imagine, season ticket sales are going to take a hit. There's no early bird, obviously.
Well, we're talking about,
they say there's a price freeze, but really it's a price hike.
Because there's no early bird discount. I've put that on another thread as well. But
appointing now, I'd appoint Nigel Pearson now.
You'd appoint him now.
He's a man to take us forwards. Yeah. No, I've got no qualms. It's going to be a bit uncomfortable.
They had 2 weeks to prepare the side. Admittedly, it was a weakened side. 2 weeks to prepare the side. And that was as shambolic, lackluster performance as we've seen from any of the last three previous two managers, isn't it? Yeah.
I think he's got the credit he's got is they aren't his players. I know it's easy to say. I think the problem is we got is you look at the home form and the away form, he's lost every home game. And the away form has been exemplary. We've won three out of four. We lost. So I think
so. Maybe the first time we let back into Ashton Gate, we should do a pitch invasion and get the ground closed.
Or get them to drive the team round.
Well, they even played in white shirts today, didn't they? Yeah, which I thought I'm going to like this. It wasn't good. Rob, we don't want to say, and somebody's picked up on here, you know, we're mad sort of looking at questioning Nigel, and we're not questioning, but you just got to look at some of the threads now, you know, that it's not like Joseph and the amazing, no, that's not Joseph, the coat of many, whatever. Do you think that this is a taking stock period for Nigel and we should not be concerned, Rob?
I don't think we should be concerned. I think we'll be all right. Hopefully I'll sort these players out because I think we've got enough old players to run a bowls club at the moment, pretty much. But honestly, I think there's nothing to worry about. I hope they'll do it soon because, like you've been saying, with the season tickets and stuff, something's got to happen because that's going to make a huge difference with their budget and their money as well, the club and everything. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
He's the man. I still think he's the man. I really do think he's the man. But what about you, Ian? You know, there's the people who love to criticise, and we're usually accused of doing that on here some of the time. But there's rumblings that are there. What are your thoughts on the man? Would you have expected us to have some identity and some pattern? You talked about Tyreek coming on, and he was confused. Everybody's confused as to where he was playing. Yeah, you know, he's got the jigsaw there. He doesn't seem to have pieced it together in a more effective way than what was being done previously. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he's put it together effectively. Things are still going on. Players being played out of position, Wells going wide, striker goes off, midfield player comes on. I'm not convinced, I've got to be honest. Am I against him getting the job? No, because I don't know who else would be available. But that's what it depends on. It's all right saying, well, we want this manager, we want that manager, we want the other manager. But they've got to want to come and we've got to be able to employ him. So I would hope, given his experience, that he would be able to look at what is required to get out of that division and get it for us.
Yeah, and he should have his plan. He should have his plan now. He's been here long enough to say, right, this
well,
is...
Well, I don't think you could... I mean, you know, you've had an international weekend. You've got all these injuries. I think the first thing he's got to do is sit down with Mark Ashton and sort out the... not only the players he wants, but the backroom staff and the ability to keep them fit, because there's no way you can justify the amount of injuries that we've got in this team. That is just, you know, look at Zach Bell. Zach Bell has joined the team.
Sam Bell.
Sam Bell. He's been on the bench and he's hardly played any football because of that, because he hasn't been able to turn out as much for the under-23s. And he plays 15 minutes today and he does his hamstring.
Yeah. So that's conditioning. And that is conditioning. That's never.
Well, we don't seem to be able to keep anybody fit. When players come back from being injured, Walsh is, you know, today, classic example, Walsh. Another classic example, O'Dowda. They come back, they go again.
Patterson.
Yep. Exactly the same. Oh, we don't need an op. He's fine. We're just treating him. Oh, he needs an op. So he has the op. He comes back, breaks down again.
Yeah.
So we probably won't see Patterson in a City shirt again. So he's got to get all those things sorted out, because otherwise you keep bringing in player after player after player, and you'll be paying him sitting in the stand.
We all thought that this he'd be signed by now, because he's had a quarter of a season to prepare for next season. Yeah. So if we screw it up and we don't get him, right, we really are going to be up shit creek come 1st of July or whenever it is. Okay. let's go on to these Easter memories. I'll start. Before I do that, a couple of things. We'll be back on Monday after the Coventry game. God, let's hope we get something a bit better than what was served up today. And there was a little taster thing I ran on Twitter. I spent an hour yesterday, just over the hour, with one of our former managers, Danny Wilson. Yeah, 46% win rate here. He was dumped by Steve Lansdowne. You'll hear him tell the circumstances of his departure. We talk about all sorts of things. I didn't ask about the drinking culture that many thought existed here at the time, but we went through every season. We also talked about his career outside of Bristol City. I mean, he managed both Sheffield clubs, played for Wednesday and managed them. Really enjoyable chat. So that's going to be up on the Podbean app from midday tomorrow. It should be. I've programmed it to go up there. Right, Easter memories to finish for me. My one, and the first two that came to mind, and they're a bloody long time ago. So anybody who is listening who's over the age of 50 would have to be over the age of 50 to remember these, because one was 1970-71 season. It was a Good Friday game. City were, so it's April 71. I know Good Friday varies each year by year, but so not the date, the actual day, Good Friday. And we were home to Luton Town. Alan Dix was a manager at the time. He'd signed in the transfer window. Who remembers these two? Les Wilson, a Canadian player. I think we got him from Wolves. And Brian Hill.
Yeah, I remember Brian that Hill. Game, Dave. All right. Yeah.
And we were 2-0 down at home to Luton, who had a young up-and-coming forward in their lineup, Malcolm McDonald. Second half, I should have looked this up, we came back and we won 3-2. So I remember that one, yeah? The other one that I remember is only a few years after that. It was a lovely sunny day. Went down to the Dell. City were hovering. They were in a very, very strong position. Went down to the Dell, stood behind the goal with all our fans. I think it was Donny Gillies that scored, and they won on the day, 1-0 at the Dell. On the Saturday, because in those days they used to play Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, three games in 5 days, no recovery period there. On the Saturday, they lost at home to promotion rivals Norwich, and then on the Tuesday, I think they only got a draw against the Gas, and that scuppered their promotion chances a year before they actually went up. And this is before my time, but people tell me that 65-66, two games against Man City over Easter, or two games over Easter against Man City, cost City similarly. So, you know, critical time for City. 70-71, two points to keep them clear of relegation. 74-75, one on the day, but failed in the other Easter games, and that cost them promotion. I'll come to you next, Mark, because you've had the longest to think. Briefly, no more than two Good Friday games that you can remember.
Well, the one that stands out for me was a trip to Adams Park. I think it was Good Friday, 1998. And we played Wycombe Wanderers. Colin Cram scored a goal just before half time, and they equalised early in the second half. And then with 6 minutes to go, I think the ball was crossed into the area and it bounced off the pitch and Cram followed it in. And, you know, City were nearing promotion back to the Championship, you know, to the, back to what was Division One then. We only lasted a season after some bad investments and the failure to get... We got Julian Watt as a centre-back, I think.
Oh,
and,
don't go there.
And, of course, Sean Dyche, who was... He was injured all the time, wasn't he? Is he even remember?
Certainly not somebody we'd remember fondly. Rob, your Easter memory, if you've got one. I'm not quite sure what generation you're from. You look quite a young guy compared to all of us on here.
I was going to say, you said,
unless that picture's 20 years old.
When you said 71, I thought that's 70.
That's probably your dad's age. You're probably your dad. Could remember that or something like that, but what's your Easter memory, Rob?
My dad was born in 71, so he might not remember that.
But your dad was born in 71. Right, I think the tea's ready.
It's terrible you asking me, because I've got a really bad memory, but the one I remember the most was today, honestly, because
it was so shit.
Honestly, I can't really remember any others, if I'm honest.
Okay.
So it's a bad idea asking you, but yeah.
I will ask you, but you've done. Just got to say now, Rob, you've been a great contributor today. It's been really good having you on. Finally, Ian, because I know your memory will go back, and that's why I came to you last, because you had to go back as far as I did, and I didn't even have time to check in the book. But one or two Easter, Good Friday, not Easter Monday. We'll do some Easter Monday memories on Monday. But Ian, Good Friday memories from you.
Well, if you want to mention the game, I had no idea. But that game against Coventry, where we got Les Wilson, I think from Wolves, and Brian Hill from Coventry on loan to turn our season around. That was when you signed loan players and they made a real difference. The thing I remember most from that game, it was absolutely belting down with rain. I was in the enclosure by the players' tunnel. And Les Wilson lost his rag with one of our players, grabbed him by the scruff of his shirt, lifted him up in the air, physically picked him up off the ground, and shook him like a rag doll. For 5 points, ladies and gentlemen, who was that Bristol City player that he shook?
Oh, God. Give us a...
Kira Jacobs?
No.
What year?
Dave Merrington?
Jerry Gow.
It was Jerry Gow, and Jerry Gow hadn't passed in the ball and done something, and all of a sudden was this maniac, long-haired Canadian bloke, come rushing over to Jerry Gow, grab him by the shirt, and he literally picked him off the floor vertically and shook him like a rag doll, and Gowey just went white. I don't think he knew what to do. But anyway, you're right. We went on to win the game, and they played well for us. Hill was a central defender, and Wilson was I'll call it a ball-winning midfield player.
Yeah.
But I don't think we signed either of them long-term.
No, we didn't. We let them go.
But they were both, you know, they were both tough guys. And at the time, that's what we needed, you know. And
well, look,
to quote people like Joe Jordan, I don't expect...
I was going to say, it's just gone 7 o'clock. Tom has reminded us that one of the other podcasts, Three Peeps, they've got Steve Lansdowne on there. So maybe their impartiality has gone out the window, because I don't think Steve...
Well, they're going to thank his wife, John Lansdowne, the dog, at the HPC Centre and the treatment room while they're on it.
Well, I don't think he'd come on here, because we're a little bit too... You know, we're a bit like that new TV station that's coming, GB News, isn't it? You know, we say stuff that, you know, is a little bit.
Oh, Ian'll be watching that, won't you, Ian?
Yeah. I'll enjoy that. Like I enjoy the toothache. You must be joking.
Kay Birdie might be signed up for that. There's every reason not to watch it.
Yeah. She'll be back on Sky as soon as she's out of Naughty Girl School. She'll be back on.
She's leaving.
Oh, is that after her period of reflection?
Yeah,
if anything goes wrong, if you do anything wrong, or let's put it this way, the cancel culture people tell you you've said something wrong, or find something, you know, a tweet that you sent 15 years ago, or something you did when you were 12, then you have to come out, apologise for it, even if you've forgotten it, and then you go away for a period of reflection.
You're sorry that you called the Pope a Protestant because it upset.
You just go away for a period of reflection and to review your beliefs.
But we're going to work very hard while we do that as well.
But Kate Birdie hasn't got a reflection, so she'll be all right.
Right, guys, I want to go and get my second. Just before we came on, it was a high point of the afternoon. Mel made me scones. And we had scones, cream, scones, cream, strawberry jam, and real strawberries. And it was ace. And I'm going to make a pig of myself, and in about 2 hours' time, I'll have another one. But we'll be back.
Go David, on. You can say at the end of the season, and to commemorate City's F-ups this season, Mel's made me, because Nigel's left, Mel's made a special Pearson scone.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, no. Well, yeah, all right, guys. Great. Thanks everybody for listening. It's been a crack as always, and we'll speak again on Monday. Have a good evening.
And remember, kids, and wherever you're listening, don't have nightmares.
Don't have nightmares. Don't have too many eggs. Bye, everyone. Good night.
Bye. Stay safe, everyone.
Cheers.
Bye.